Ho, 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 and welcome to a very festive episode of the Occupod, recorded in mid-February, the most festive time of year. So last time, you rescued Vansano from the clutches of House Grendon, learning that Inquisitor Willem was headed to the world of Velden. The course has been plotted, and the Ipcress is slowly making its way towards the system's Mandeville point. While time is of the essence, there is one thing that is more pressing than finding Lane's old acolyte. It's Sanguinala, the vaguely annual Imperial religious holiday where we all commemorate the sacrifice of the Primarch Sanguinius. Now, I'm going to say that after a debrief, you've all had a restful night of sleep back on board the Ipcress, and you've all woken up on a lovely Sanguinala morning. Xenobiologist Ibrim is due to arrive at any moment in the shuttle bay, and luckily, you've asked him to pick up the mixtape from Joss. Before you head there, I think it's important to discuss what you told Lane in your debrief and what you didn't tell him, perhaps more importantly. So I'm going to assume that you told him about Vansano directing you towards Velden, otherwise the intro I've just done doesn't make any sense. And I imagine you've told him the deal that you've cut with Ibrim, so that Ibrim arriving isn't just going to end up with Ibrim's death. That would be very funny.
but we keep just bringing people on anyway. Yeah. He's used to it.
Yeah, that's true.
Soon all the staggies out will be inside the Ipcress.
Yeah, it's just like a sitcom. 12 billion tech priests and one Inquisitor. So I've written some questions of things that I think we should consider. So did you tell Lane that you learnt more of his past from Don Baraccio? So you've already revealed that you know his first name, but have you told him you know he was picked up by an Inquisitor?
That's a Torah question.
That is a Torah question.
Absolutely.
But as a collective. But, you know, have you told Lane that you know he was picked up by an Inquisitor after a Xenotech smuggling went wrong, or that he seemingly had a lover when he was younger on the planet?
Would Lane ask us anything related to himself?
I don't think so. I think Lane is very keen to keep that quiet.
He knows Tora told him that the Don sent his regards.
So he knows you've spoken to Don Baraccio.
I think Tora is going to frame it that we were in a that the Black Pearl was spying on us at the time when we ran into Ibrim in the Underhive, who then revealed that we were, because we just told him we were mercenaries and stuff, and it was him listening in. When Ibrahim spoiled the whole plot that we were actually inquisitorial acolytes to an inquisitor called Lane.
I think that's a smart idea. Whether or not Lane believes that, I think is another question. Yeah. But I think that's a cool argument because, you know, you're hoping that he's aware of the whole sort of marble spying things. He has told you off previously, but we'll see. Okay. Second question. Did you tell Lane that you saw Willem?
Oh,
I think this is a question we need to discuss in character quickly before we go and see Lane.
This is something I need out of character to remember. Yeah. What was our agreement on in the past about?
So on the past, we agreed to say we didn't tell him we saw Willem just before the Inquisitorial Ball because explicitly Willem said, "Don't tell Lane where I'm going." So is now the time to come clean about that encounter or just say, because I think we told him we saw him.
You've not told Lane that you've seen Willem outside of the Inquisitorium.
Yeah, no, we haven't told him a thing about this. No. I think at one point Lothar wanted to come clean and,
we talked to you off the cliff.
Oh, at
the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because that would have looked really bad. Because that was back when we were at the, I hate my brain, the Schoolatorium.
The Schoolatorium. Yep.
Yep. That's it.
So, Willem told you on your first thing, don't talk to Lane about this. But yeah, there's been multiple times you've seen him since.
By this logic, would an auditorium be an auditorium?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Auditorium.
It would be an auditorium.
Yeah. It depends how. So there's low Gothic. There's low Gothic, high Gothic, higher Gothic, and yodel. Gothic. Which is what we went into.
Yeah. Inquisitor Yankovic was the one who really brought
Yes. Strange Alan Yankovic. That's the guy.
Didn't he also work with the canon Inquisitor?
Obi-Wan Sherlock Clouseau.
Obi-Wan Sherlock Clouseau. I think
they were part of the Ordo Parodis, which sadly is been closed down due to copyright reasons now.
Lane must work for them.
Absolutely.
This is going to be the next game.
So I think that's an important question then. So have you told Lane?
Lane's a tough one because, like, I like being honest with this character.
Willem's thing was, if you tell Lane, he'll only try and stop me. You don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, we also don't know what he's doing, which is always, why don't you just tell us?
Well, he seems to be out of time every time you see him.
Ironically.
Yeah.
Well, at least start the sentence so we know you're trying to tell us, you know, before you pop away. Yeah. Like, guys, don't go. What was he going to say? Don't go away.
Well, he does seem to be telling you something quite pressingly, but piecing it together is a
Why would Lane want to stop him? What would be that bad?
I think we need to have a conversation with Lane about why he would have stopped. I think we need to put all cards on the table and see what Lane is now willing to tell us about unraveling what's happened to Willem.
I think I would agree with that because. Yeah, ultimately, we're going to have to run across, ideally him, right? And if we're already going to try and rescue him, like, I don't know. It feels...
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I'll run through the rest of my questions, and then we'll have a short scene with Lane. Deciding to chat to Boss Man. So what did you tell Lane about the Eldar?
I personally feel like I would just tell him everything.
Cool.
Yeah, I would think so. And that clearly, you know, one of Willem's retinue was an Eldar.
So he can't be too...
Right, it's not like...
Elaine seemingly, in the previous times, every time you mentioned Eldar, he's been like, don't fuck with them, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, he's indicated in the past that it's possible to work with aliens and so on. Like, he's not he's not just hate them all like on sight, but absolutely. It's like, obviously get your gun ready though.
Yeah. Cool. So what did you tell Lane about the things House Grendon was keeping in their dungeon?
Everything. In my opinion, I think we should tell everything.
I have no reason to hide anything. Cool.
I think they should have the hammer come down on them.
The Death Watch kill team has been deployed. Cool.
Capturing R. What is R?
I think he means Vansana. Right. So there's a lot of questions here that I think would be best solved in character. My last thing is, what did you tell him or withhold anything else? But I think what we can do is if we jump to you guys having a meeting with Lane. As you are, you're having this debrief with him. So you're over in his office. I could say this is the day that you have arrived. It's been a couple of hours. You've kind of been scrubbed clean, and in you come. And you've gone through. You've had your little discussions about the Eldar, about Vansano, all that kind of thing. What would you like to say about Willem and House Grendon?
Oh gosh.
Og is in the chat saying Tora pushes Lothar forward.
Lane, there's a lot that we have to go over, I think, before we make our next move. You know how the warp is weird, right?
I have heard of that, yes.
Yeah. In your experience, have you ever had what I think the term is warpy bullshit happen when not traveling in the warp?
You mean like unexplained warp phenomena? That kind of thing does happen, particularly depending on how long it's been since warp travel or chaotic presence. That kind of thing can definitely happen. Yeah, why do you ask?
Well, I you know, I guess the reason is that over the past couple of missions, I've been trying to wrap my head around all this, you know, traveling in the warp crap, and it's anyway. The point is that the usual things that they would talk about, like, you know, warp ghosts and things like that. Usually the warp ghosts have to be of people who are dead, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. What would you say if I told you that Willem has popped up?
Well, it depends. You know, that kind of thing can just be your mind playing tricks on you. It could be something in the warp playing tricks on you. It could be, you know, it doesn't a ghost, obviously. Right. Is something that is dead, but sometimes something can assume the form of something that is someone you know, a loved one perhaps, or perhaps a minor acquaintance in your case with Willem.
Well, but what if, hypothetically... Okay.
You know, when you say hypothetically, I'm believing less and less that this is hypothetical.
What if I said that he had popped up before I met him?
Could you expand on that?
On the Upcrest, in my shower.
Oh.
And bleeding from the nose and popping in and out of existence pretty regularly, actually.
I would say that is unusual, even for a Inquisitor like Willem.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm not nuts then. Great. That's. What does that mean exactly? If he's doing that?
Listen, I was about to say this is above my pay grade, but my pay is theoretically unlimited. This is far above my knowledge. If there is something warp-based going on with Willem, if he is traveling, the warp is non-linear. There has been times when we have warp-traveled and we have technically, by a Terran calendar, we have arrived a few days before we have set off. Now, that is a troubling thing to think of, but unfortunately that is the reality of warp travel.
Right.
Sometimes there are accidents. Sometimes ships get lost in the warp and reappear thousands of years ahead or before when they were supposed to arrive. Possibly sure. It could be something like that.
Maybe. The thing is that each time he seems to keep appearing a lot to me, apparently. But he keeps popping in and out with warnings and things, saying that he's...
What's he warning you of?
That's kind of where I'm hoping that you'd help us with that, because his whole thing is that I guess it would be something that you would know about. He mentioned you a few times.
Right.
So I don't know... I guess I don't know if there's more about Willem's work we need to go about knowing first before we see him.
Tragically, what exactly I know. Does he do? Well, when he was with me, he showed a fantastic skill, obviously with the Ordo Xenos, but his interests in the more esoteric side of our work, such as chronological science and that sort of thing. I care a lot about my acolytes as much as I mistreat you all. And if I think they are better suited to something else, I have my ways of making sure that they are able to excel in that. Ultimately, I have to take a very practical view of all things. And if, for instance, an acolyte would be better off for the Imperium if they were working under someone else, then that is the kind of thing I will arrange. With Willem, that was the case. His interests and his skills made me think, well, perhaps he should be working with the Ordo Chronos. They're a small Ordo Minoris, far smaller than the three great ones, but the work they do is important, but unusual. It deals with things such as time travel. Contacting a member of the Ordo Chronos is an incredible difficulty, working with them even more so. Willem is the only one I currently am able to have contact with. The rest have faded away.
Would there ever be any reason where he wouldn't want you to come to his rescue for anything.
Well, he probably knows I would go myself rather than trusting all of you. But
for what? That's what we're trying to figure out.
If he's on Velden, I'm not sure. I've never been there. Once we're in system, I'll be able to know more about it. But for now, I'm as clueless as you all are. We're just going off of what Vansano said about what he was after. So I'm not sure what kind of trouble he's gotten mixed up in.
I wouldn't even begin to know. All I know is that each time he would appear, it would be with different warnings and saying that you'd come to his rescue and that...
There was a continuous thread with his warnings, though, about a shadow or presence in the warp that was following. Unclear if it was us or you or the ship.
We suspect he's
giving us the true name of a demon.
Lane takes quite a deep breath and leans back in his chair. Says, Amelia, I'm sure Orthamuel's briefed you on this, but the true name of a demon is an incredibly powerful tool. Usually when you slay a demon, it vanishes into the warp and it will return in time, depending on the strength of the demon and certain rituals and alignments of certain moons and whatnot. The true name of a demon is not permanent, but it allows you to wield power over it. That is, power to force it to do things. That could be to bend to your will, to enact great evil under your banner. It could also be power to banish it yourself.
God, Willem's gonna uncanonize squats again.
That's what he's here for. He's gonna ruin everything with the power of a demon.
An interesting point as Tora goes through his notebook.
Of course,
Vansano revealed at the ball when dancing with Amelia that Vansano, whatever is chasing us, is what Willem is after, full of fury and fire in the warp.
Right. Well, that sounds pretty bad, I'll be honest with you all.
We seem to think so too.
It seems that something is following us, and Willem is following the something, and my worry is he's found it.
Which means that whatever has been following us is waiting there too, probably.
Right.
So we're walking into a trap.
Or potentially Willem's got there first and it's all fine.
I don't know.
If I've learned anything from my time in the guard, it's a trap.
Right. Well,
Lane, do you have one of those Emperor's carrots?
Well, I can ask the Astropath if I can put some carrots together and have a read of them, yeah.
Yeah, the Emperor's carrots.
Yeah, those things.
Yeah.
What?
The Emperor's carrots. You have a bag of 52 carrots, all with different pictures on them, and you get your palm read, and they lay out the Emperor's carrots, and depending on the picture on the carrot... It might tell the future.
Yeah, the last time you told me about getting my palm red, you took one of the red crayons and smashed it in my palm.
did we not ask as well, though? It's like, why would you want to stop him?
Well, like,
explicitly, why would you stop? Why would you stop Willem coming to this planet that you definitely don't come from?
I don't come from Velden, but do you think he's perhaps trying to protect me? He doesn't want me going there because he thinks it's dangerous, and he knows that, well, as I now want to, I will pull out all the stops to save him in person if need be.
I think
he explicitly said, don't tell Lane where I'm going next.
I wasn't going to phrase it that way, but yeah.
Now, I'm going to ignore the fact that you have been lying to me for quite some time now, but...
Do you trust Willem Lane?
I do.
You made it very clear to us that you trust Willem, and we trust Willem because you trust Willem, because we trust you. So it's a chain of trust.
That makes it more tolerable, I suppose, when you phrase it so eloquently, Tora.
You have Swiss chocolate?
No. But it is perplexing, unfortunately, until Willem appears again to you, or we find him. I suppose we will not know why he doesn't want me there.
Your presence may inadvertently cause a problem, perhaps. Will you be able to restrain yourself?
Well,
let us handle it, as we've proven to be so capable.
I suppose your last deployments have been fairly successful. Do you think it would be wise, then, if I were to stay on the ship, wherever we're heading?
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, no, neither am I. It is rare that I ask for your judgment, and even rarer still that I listen to it, but I perhaps you were right. I'll think on this before we arrive wherever we're going. Anything else you would like to talk to Willem about?
I don't know, but I feel...
Willem, he's here?
Oh, no! There he is. Hey, he's gone! I mean, Lane, that guy.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Oh, my God.
He just appears behind the window. He's gone. Anything else?
The window.
Oh, what's he like? Anything you would like to say to Lane before Ibrahim arrives tomorrow morning?
I feel simultaneously better and worse already for having told him.
Lane, a question that came up. Are we getting paid? Someone asked me how much I was being paid, and I don't know.
Well, are you performing well enough to be paid?
I don't know. I keep getting emails from the HR lady, but I can't read them because I forgot what my password was.
Right.
I just get the notification that there's an email waiting in my inbox.
Yeah, I'll see if Janet can do some printouts for you. That might be easier. Your needs are met when you are within my service, and at a time when I see no further use for you, I can arrange a suitable bonus to put you in good standing. But we will see. Like all things in the Inquisition, it depends.
Interesting. When we were doing the brief, did we tell Lane what Manzano said Willem was looking for? The piece of Dark Age technology that allows you to relive memories?
You haven't mentioned that yet.
I think Tora gives him the brief.
Okay. So do you think he's using this to relive these memories?
You would only have a psyker in your service if you yourself were covering a gap in your own skills. So I think with having what seems to be a quite powerful Xenos psyker in your immediate employ, you yourself are probably less likely to be warp-based fuckery. So potentially...
Lane nods his head and says, when Willem first joined my service, he's fully screened, and yes, there's not a theoretical psychic bone in his body.
Wait, hey, as an aside, don't have a psyker in your service outside of the Astropaths.
That is correct. Oh, sorry, Og, you're too quiet then. I missed whatever hilarious thing you were saying close up to your microphone.
Willem, are you a psyker? Willem,
Lane says, yeah, sure, look at this. And then he raises his hand above a stack of papers on his desk, which do not move. But yes,
keeping him so still with the window open?
it's a real triumph of my will, I can guarantee. But yes, perhaps this ring is involved, if that is the reason he was there, but I don't understand why he would be reliving memories of... Well, I mean, what is connecting all of these?
You and Willem being in your service. We saw him in his Scholopogenium bedroom. We see him in my old
sorry, Lothar's new old room.
Yeah.
And my old new room. We saw him in the bathroom. We saw him. Lothar saw him in the shower. Was he naked, Lothar? I always meant to ask.
He was wrapped in a towel.
He was relatively naked.
Hmm. Okay. Were you naked, Lothar?
No, I wasn't. I was shaken. I was not naked.
So what other time had you seen him? It was in the Erekar.
Not stirred.
Yeah, the only time we didn't see him like in trend with this was in the window of an Erekar. But that seemed a very active vision, if that makes sense.
It does seem that was more recent than, well, decades ago at the Scholar Progenium, or, well, slightly less time when he was in my service. But there's nothing linking these then, if only two out of these times it's something to do with me, other than the loose link that I was born on Delphis Prime.
I mean, other than us being there to witness it, I guess.
I suppose. Is there anything about him in these times? Obviously, you say he's giving you snippets of something.
He's always bleeding or hurt.
That's unusual, I suppose.
Yeah, like when I first saw him in the shower there, he had a nosebleed. When we saw him at the Scala, he had some kind of like contusion or something like that. He was bleeding all in the Aero car, but wasn't bleeding in the Aero. It's been a lot lately.
So he seems to be going back to every, well, at least the three times you've seen him, he's been bleeding each time.
Right. And all places that
sure
link.
What that means, other than he's hurt.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of something. The most honest I can be is that I thought this was just me losing it. So.
Well, either we're all losing it, or it's real. So, either way, it's something to worry about. How's that, eh?
Well, that doesn't make me feel better at all.
Anything else you'd like to ask, Lane?
I don't know. I feel like that.
Not really sure.
Most of it.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, we met Mr. Funnerux, by the way.
Oh, you mentioned it. Yeah, that's very, very exciting. You know, we're actually brothers.
Oh my.
No, I'm just shitting with you. Can you imagine?
I feel like the last name would have given it away.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, in that case, I will, please don't yell in my office, Tora.
Tora, that's the air conditioner. We've been over this.
He's putting his lips up against it. Yeah, in that case, Lane stands up and says, well, I will see you bright and early tomorrow with your dear friend Ibrim deciding to show his face.
Friend is a strong word.
Mm. And then I'm going
to
say...
He spoke to me about taxes and the financial markets.
That's true. And you learned that Ibrim's main crime is tax avoidance. Oh, man. So, yeah, you all go for a slightly more restless night of sleep than you were hoping. And the next morning, you make your way towards the shuttle bay. Lane is standing on a raised platform, watching a shuttle get closer and closer to the Ipcress. He looks at you all with a thin-lipped smile, and Thalia is standing beside him. Ibrim's shuttle drifts lazily into the shuttle bay, the symbol of Steige's 8 on display on its wings. You see Ibrim is piloting it. He turns the keys in the ignition, the boarding ramp lowering. A servitor stumbles down the ramp, and behind it is Ibrim with a large suitcase. It's been a long time since Ibrim's face has had, you know, the capability of expression, but you can almost picture a shit-eating grin across his lips as he walks down and says loudly, good morning, friends and fellow passengers. I must say it is a relief to be here as a guest rather than as a captive. You know, the last time I saw this fine ship, it was launching boarding torpedoes at me. Ah, how things change, eh? You see Lane's knuckles tighten over the railing. Welcome, Xenobiologist. I trust you will remain here and remain aware that this is an inquisitorial vessel for your journey with us. Of course, Inquisitor, says Ibrim as he approaches. I will be on my best behaviour until I am out of your hands, on my own ship, and safely on my way to Steige's 8. You know, you Inquisitors have a bad rap, but your hospitality is magnificent. Lane nods his head slowly and says, Thalia, if you could take our esteemed guest to his room. Of course, Inquisitor. Thalia bows politely, and Ibrim gives you finger guns as he passes by you.
Tora begrudgingly finger guns back.
Nice.
Lothar puts safety back on his finger guns. So
Lane turns to you, Tora, and says, Tora, Thalia said she wanted to see you up in her room before Sanguinala dinner. I'm sure if, you know, if you pop up in a bit after she's put, you know, Ibrim into his room.
She's putting Ibrim to bed.
Yeah, she tucks him in. It's great. But I'm sure she'd appreciate if you, you know, popped up to say hello.
Quick question.
Sure.
How, did we have a day before Sanguinala or not?
Your Sanguinala dinner is traditionally, as you remember, an evening meal. So you've got time. What do you want to do?
Well, I wanted to talk to Thalia for something before.
Yeah. Well, we can go together.
She would need time, is what I'm
absolutely
saying.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that you go find Thalia after she's popped Ibrim to bed. I'm going to say she bumps into you in perhaps the rec room. And she's there. She's just having a lovely mug of recaf. What would you like to ask her?
I just wanted to bring up Sanguinal tomorrow. I was wondering if we could have some traditional Sanguinalan outfits made for myself, Tora, Lothar, and BGZ.
Yes, I'm sure I can work something up. It'll take some time, but I'll see what I can do.
Yeah,
Tora's being dressed up as a traditional Sanguinala elf.
Like literally as well. I want to send out a text to everybody, be like, hey, save some time later.
Yeah.
So we can get together.
Lovely.
Before tomorrow.
Cool. So you request that. What else would people like to do before Sanguinala dinner?
Make sure that Tora does not hear that dog.
Yep. Whatever it is, somewhere loose on the upgrade.
That's the sound. That's the sound inside Tora's head at all times.
Yeah. Just a dog echoing endlessly amongst that big empty skull. What would you guys like to do pre-Sanguinala dinner?
Tora will definitely go visit Thalia.
Sure. So you knock on Thalia's door. There's no answer, but the lights are on and it is unlocked.
Tora hesitantly knocks again quite loudly and says, hello, and then kind of like peers his head in.
Sure. There is a cup of recaf steaming on the table. It looks like she's just probably stepped out of the room for a moment. You know Thalia's room is a lot bigger than yours, and it has, you know, rooms within it. This is just basically her living room and kitchen. What would you like to do?
Tora makes himself a cup of recaf.
Sure. You pour a cup of recaf, and as you just set it down on the table for a second to cool, you feel a blow on the back of your head.
Ow!
You stagger forward, leaning on the counter. What do you do?
Tora drops to his knees, swinging his back leg out in like a capoeira breakdancing move.
Okay, cool.
His assailant.
Make a weapon skill test -20, please, because you are surprised and hitting behind you.
Please. 20.
Cool.
Can I fate that to pass? Because it a fate
37 to a 27. Sure.
Yep, done. Tora fates cool. The pass.
Sure. You swing your foot around. As you turn your body with it, you see Lane is there. The sleeves of his shirt have been rolled up to reveal forearms that are twisted with scars. He is standing like a boxer or an old scrapper from the Underhives. His chin is tucked. His fists are raised. He looks like he's about to hit you again. Do you continue with your kick?
Oh, Oh yeah, Tora continues to sweep the leg.
Awesome. Roll damage for me, please.
D4. What would an D4?
I swear to God, if you kill Lane.
It'll be 2.
Cool. I think this hits him in the shins and he staggers back, but doesn't appear to have been knocked unsteady enough. Let me roll hit again on that. Sorry. I rolled damage before hitting.
Oh, jeez.
Lane is going to hit with 5 degrees of success.
How come he gets to add his attack type?
You're in a surprise round. Like, the fact that I let you attack at all is a small mercy. Pray I do not take away more. And that is his damage. I think Lane staggers back from your kick just below his knees. And I think in quite vicious right hook, he absolutely clocks you across the eye socket. And your vision is blurred. He hits with a surprising amount of strength for a man of his age.
Does he appear to have synth muscles the same as Tora?
His sleeves are only rolled up to his forearms. You're not sure.
Okay. Tora's going to get back. Tora's going to get up and then kind of like reload his fists and crack his neck.
Awesome.
And go, well, you want to see what your money pays for synth muscle treatment?
Okay. Roll to hit, please.
I'm just going to do. I was going to use Little Scythe Junior.
Okay. Obviously, damage is going to be D4.
Yeah. Do I count as having a half aim?
Yeah. Your fist reload, I count as a half aim.
You cock your fist and a shell flies out.
Yeah. Okay. That is a failure with 2 degrees of failure. I think you swing once more at Lane, and I think he very deftly parries your hit before you're even able to fully extend your hand. He then swings at you again. And he misses. I think you dodge at the last second, and he sort of swings and almost glances off the counter.
Tora. Huh?
This is very tense.
Sorry. Can Tora pick up the recap and kind of like throw it in Lane's face to discombobulate him?
Yeah, if you wish. I'm going to need, I'm going to say a weapon skill -10 on that to quickly grab something and throw it at him, because it's kind of behind you, kind of where he is. If you fail this, he might grab it.
And Tora take the disarm.
No.
Take the disarm.
It's not, he's not the counter. He's not wielding it. No, you can't do that.
Probably be ballistic skill though.
I'm certain also, you can't disarm him. He's literally unarmed.
If Tora has the ambidextrous or the traits for 2-weapon wielding.
Yeah.
Do my fists count as 2 separate weapons?
No! I am the most generous games master.
What are you...
here.
What, the 1-2?
No! That's not how it works!
Well, Tora is allowed to use melee weapons as an attack as a half.
Stop looking at your character sheet and swing your fists like a man! Come on, punch your boss!
All right, I'm going to punch my boss. Can Tora just charge him to kind of like knock him over the couch?
Yeah, sure. Again, this is going to be weapon skill, but I'm going to count this as like a maneuvering kind of thing.
Doesn't count as a... Do I get my charge bonus to it?
Nope. You were already engaged in combat. If you fuck this up, he might be able to do similar on you.
No, I'm just gonna go for the fisticuff.
Okay. That is another failure of 1 degree of failure. I think again, you swing. He is quite a bit shorter than you, but he puts his fist together and absorbs this blow. Your synth muscles do nothing against his old man strength.
It's like an old farmer.
Yeah, he does have that kind of look. Lane is going to swing at you, and again is a failure. I think he staggers back, swings, but he's lost a range now as he moves back slightly further. What would you like to do? Your eye is starting to swell at this point.
Tora's going to pause for a moment. He's not going to lower his fists and be like,
we could, like, if you wanted to do this, we could have just gone to the gym.
Lane, I think, lowers his fists once more, and I think he walks closer to you. You see his fists are still balled up. What would you like
Tora,
to do?
Tora, I think, is going to step backwards at the same measure, like kind of like matching.
Okay.
Matching what's going on. Like Matt keeping the same distance. See, like, I'm assuming he's got like a kitchen island.
Yeah. So he, I think he moves and he looks like he's going to grab you by the scruff of your neck. Much as he did back on the Inquisitorium, if you remember all that time ago.
Oh, yes. God. I think Aura. Oh God, it's Festivus all over again. It's feet of strength. Is there an aluminum pole in the corner?
Yeah, doesn't appear so.
Tora is going to set his jaw and go, Aerocar doesn't go far, and go for, like, to slam him in the head.
Cool. Again, if you fuck up, he might be able to counter this, is what I'm going to count it as. If you fail with, like, a decent amount of degrees of failure.
Can I, because I gave up my last turn to back away.
Yeah.
Can that have counted as a full aim? By
no, you count? Weren't aiming. You act no. Like I'm playing by the rules. We can't have it can both I, ways.
Can I use my swift attack perk?
Can if you want. If you want to like whack him quickly in the nostril. But again, you need to hit. Okay. Awesome. Oh, wow.
That's so 5 additional degrees of success. Yeah. And so that gives me my original attack +2. So that's 3 damage rolls.
Yep.
Should I roll them individually just to see if I get
Righteous Fury? Yeah, why not? Why not?
1, 2.
Okay.
That's a Righteous Fury.
So what does this look like? You haven't killed Lane before I tell you that.
Oh, thank God.
No. Session ends.
I think it's very much like the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes.
Yep.
Where it's like the internal monologue of like, break the nest, except it's all dog related. It's like throw the ball, and it's like an uppercut underneath Lane's chin, and it's like rip the leg, and it's like he goes down like sideways and punches Lane super hard in his inner thigh to kind of like destabilize him more, and then it's just like Tora's like left elbow comes and like swings and like cracks him across the side of the head.
I think Lane staggers up against the kitchen island as you've rained this flurry of blows against him. I think he reaches into his back pocket and he draws the strange looking pistol that he's had on him for this time.
Tora pulls out his arse gun.
He does not aim it at you. He's merely holding it in his hand. He looks at you and says, "One more slip up, Tora, and you're going back to Straya."
Oh, God. Sir, yes, sir.
He places the pistol back away and says, "I'll see you at dinner." And then leaves.
It's just like old times.
Mm. Anything else you guys would like to do pre-Sanguinara?
I thought he was going to lock his door.
Yep, fair enough.
Or a bang on my front door.
You'll never guess.
Sorry, I'm in a tunnel.
What? Can Tora 100% would have... I think canonically he changed the locks on Lothar's room. Right?
You probably could get in.
So yeah. Tora just goes into his room and gets his spare key and unlocks Lothar's
room.
Sorry. What I pictured in my head is that you have just found a way to open the door, come into Lothar's room, grabbed the spare key in Lothar's room, walked out, closed the door, then unlocked it and came back in.
This would not be the first time that Tora's been confused by doors and locking mechanisms. Think back to the Skull of Progenium.
That's true.
Tora kicks the door open,
Ha-cha!
Gets Lothar's spare key, it's locks it again, sliding door.
No matter what, you were inside of Tora slash Lothar's room. What would you like to do?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's Lothar doing?
Lothar is going to be shuffling at things at his desk to cover them up and then realize that it absolutely is just Tora coming in. And they go, oh, is there something that you needed?
Lane punched me in the head.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not the only one. What? Wait, do you mean recently?
Your eye socket is quite badly swollen at this point.
Wait, then why are you in here? The Medicaid's like next door. What happened? Do I want to know what happened?
I'm not really sure. I'll be honest. He told me Thalia wanted to talk to me, and then I went in and he punched him in the head. It was great.
Uh-huh. So how about this? Lothar's going to cover up what he was working on. Mm. How about we walk you over to the Medicaid, okay? And we'll check you out and see what's going on.
I don't think I can get more head woundy.
They've
got lollipops. Yeah, let's go to the Medicaid.
Sure.
There he goes. Okay, I better make sure he doesn't kick that door down too. All right, hold on a second. Lothar's going to get up and follow you into the Medicaid.
Tora's foot gets stuck in the zipper.
That's only the armory. We've established
the armory has the zipper.
Medicaid's got a usual.
Still, I'm going to go over and take your foot out of the armory door then and say, no. It's the next door over.
You go into the Medicaid. The lights are off. You turn them on. One of the Medicaid servitors awakens.
All right. I never know how to talk to these. He hit his head a lot. Can you help him?
I think the servitor kind of staggers over to you. I think it does a quick scan and locates the issue of Tora's swollen eye socket. I think very softly a voice rings out and goes, "Error, injury not recognized."
What? How do you not recognize? No, hold on. Scan him again. And Lothar's going to try and... Tora, could you maybe move your face down a little bit? Maybe it just didn't get a good angle.
Oh, of course. Tora moves his head better for the scan.
Sure. It scans again. It says, "Error. Injury not recognized."
How do you not recognize this injury? It's a brute. I recognize this injury. I'm not even a...
A senior user has disabled this function.
wait, Lothar. What if I punch you on the head and see if the Medicaid recognizes that?
How about no? Or you get the... Oh, you know what? I have a better idea, because this way you'll definitely get a lollipop. If you were to have the servitor hurt you in the same spot, it would have to fix you.
That's a great idea. Tora headbutts the servitor.
Lothar's going to back away slowly.
The servitor just stands there looking at you. After you clang into it.
Tora, you have to have it scan you again.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Bang! Scan you.
It does it once more and says a senior user has disabled this function.
Oh, good. Well, now you got two bruises.
Where's the other medical robot, Gord Lothar?
What do you mean, the other medical robot? Please find another way to refer to Amelia.
Sure, I'm going to say Amelia is probably coming back from her chat with Thalia.
Well, I'm not going to the Medicaid, though.
Yeah, fuck these guys.
I wouldn't even know about it.
Yeah, hold on. Feet up with BGZ in the garden.
I'll get on the horn with her for a second. Just don't.
Wait, Amelia. Canonically, Tora never turns his micro beat off because it's been in.
Yeah, we would have heard it, but that doesn't mean we have your audio feed on all the time.
Yeah. Amelia probably kicked it off most of the time.
Does that mean Amelia? Because I'm assuming Tora also doesn't know he can take his visor off that Amelia sees through. Mm. Does that mean Amelia will have like video footage of him kicking Lane's ass?
I think Amelia would have it if she was active on that screen at the time. She doesn't have like a constant rolling stock of a series of highly compressed MP4s of everything Tora sees. Her databanks would be full.
That also doesn't mean it's recorded.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just seen.
All right, let me see if I can get Amelia on the horn here really quick. Amelia, where are you at?
Back to my room.
Do you have time for your favorite patient?
What happened?
Well, this is going to look Tora up and down. So he basically just needs something for a bruise and a lollipop. I think he'll be all right.
Tora, at this point, I think, is now trying to wrestle with the servitor to get the job.
Maybe a couple things for abrasion.
Error. These are for patients, it says.
I don't know. If you can get your best Death Watch Band-Aid for him or something like that, I think that'll be all right.
Hey, I mean, Lane obviously knows I'm capable of medicine. Would he have said anything?
No, doesn't seem to be.
Okay. I guess I'll go down and see what the problem is.
You find Tora wrestling with a servitor for some lollipops.
And Lothar, who has taken one of the lollipops and has just been sitting there and watching.
He seems fine.
is normal.
I agree. I guess Lane must have clocked him or something. And the servitor won't fix him up, I guess. So, like I said, he just needs the boo-boo fixed.
If Lane injured him and doesn't want the servitor to help him, I doubt he wants me to help him either.
Oh, Amelia, you coward.
But then he's going to whine about it at dinner.
What is so wrong with you?
As Tora turns around, his eye socket is very, very swollen now. It's probably reached the limit of it. It looks like he's been hit there very, very hard.
He fell down the lift, so...
I mean,
you should have seen the other guy.
I could give some little bit of help, like
sure.
Not gonna go crazy.
Yeah, you put on basically like an ice pack, and it feels a bit better, Tora. But it's not great. You still look like you've been hit in the face. But there's no time to. You have been. That's a joke. There's no time to wait, though. It's Sanguinala time, motherfuckers. So Sanguinala is happening in Lane's office. Is there any last thing you would like to do?
But wait, there's the dinner. But when is actual like?
It's all day.
Gift giving.
Well, that will be with dinner. Don't worry.
Well, no, that's what I want the outfits for.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well,
before gift giving.
Can I Spacebook Thalia and ask her if she happens to have vid recordings from her living room?
I think she gets on the blower to you and says, well, usually I would do, but there seems to be an error of about 5 minutes from about an hour ago.
I like that she is still willing to do that for Tora, of all people.
She's actually got an interesting relationship with Tora now. I think there's a weird level of, like, I don't know. I don't want to say respect,
pity, respect.
Yeah, I think pity is probably the leading thing there. She says weirdly she doesn't have it. But good news, your outfits are ready, and I think she comes down to the Medicaid with them all ready and bagged up, and hands them over to you and says, "Well, I'll." I suppose I'll leave you all to get changed. I'll go in to Lane's office.
Thanks. We've never. I don't.
No,
this is Amelia's request.
I asked her to make.
Sorry, Una Memento. The woman wants me.
Oh no! I hit me. That's staying in.
No. Do you want? I'll leave you like a bus, leaving you behind. A bus would not leave someone at a train station, my gorgeous sweet. Central buses and trains. Yeah. But okay, what? It's my sweet. My gorgeous love. Recorded.
God bless Australia.
Oh. Oh, okay, yeah. Fuck, I'll drink milk.
You fucking will.
Alright.
Don't call me woman.
Alright, thanks, gorgeous.
Yeah, you tell him. Yeah. Drink your milk, cuck.
They just yelled at me, drink your milk, cuck. So. You gotta stop the cuck business.
No, you.
Oh, well, I'm the one who instigated the cuck business this morning. No, my work.
Dear listener, I'm not bothering to cut this because I think this is a little podcast within a podcast, which is called Life at Home with Og.
Sacred professional place. If we choose to call each other cucks in the day-to-day of our government jobs.
This is a premium.
Yeah, I fucking heard a set of estimates. I watched it. I don't think fucking Marcus Markovic is going to sit in front of the Senate estimates and go, yeah, well, everything went really great in corporate and enabling services. Playing with Playmates is an important part.
Oh, are we ready? Should we continue before we completely destroy the Australian government?
Just one moment.
Yeah,
stop interrupting my premium role playing experience. Who dare call it subpar?
Wow.
Wow. He puts minutes of work into this every week.
Sometimes I edit it.
Yeah, this is going on Spotify, baby. Yeah. Fuck you. Sorry, Warwick, as you were.
Sorry, I completely lost my train of thought. Yeah, Thalia's giving you the
outfit. Yeah, it's like, no, I requested these. And I'm going to call VGZ and be like, all right, we need to, you know, let's just say I have something in my room.
Sure. VGZ, clang, clang, clang. He's at the door.
What is traditional Sanguinala wear? Does someone dressed as like Sanguine?
I imagine like the Primer, flowing red, someone else silk, is dressed and as feathery white.
So the only canon thing is that generally people wear something red. Or yeah, like a tiny red ribbon, that kind of thing. But I'm leaving this completely up to you.
Traditional Sanguinala cherub.
Yeah, Thalia has bowed politely. She has headed off, and your dear friend BGZ has appeared.
Yeah, so basically, I want to make a Christmas card.
Oh,
Tora with a raising head.
Sure. Where are you taking this lovely snap?
We'll do it in the garden. Unless lovely. Got some sanguinolin plant that was grown.
There's a nice like red mushroom. That's your standby.
In the background is the plaque with all the people.
I can imagine BGC's a nice red silk scarf or something.
Yeah, like you draped it over him.
Chinese, red. How are you? And stuff.
How are you standing? Are you looking like a '90s R&B group, or is it like kids at their prom?
I think Amelia's in the middle with her arms on Lothar and BGZ, and Tora's in the front. Why am I hearing myself?
Sorry, my AirPods.
Og is just ruining this podcast. As you were saying,
Tora can be down in the front. You know, he's not wearing a shirt. He's just got angel wings.
Oh, yeah. You look fantastic.
If you zoom in enough, you can see on that little cherry he's got on his cheek, you can see a little death watch of Thaddeus McChattius.
It looks brilliant.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I got the Slamginius band-aid this time.
So you guys look very, very cute. And you have this lovely photograph. What a lovely thing. Yeah, you get the server skull. It prints it out. It's like a Polaroid. Yeah, what a lovely, lovely God. Idea.
We didn't invite Samuel again.
Oh no, well, you're photoshopping him.
I was gonna say, like, I imagine like Lane and Thalia wouldn't really fit. That's what I was gonna ask you guys. Like, is there anybody else? Or Samuel.
I'm gonna say your Samuel takes a break from his long session of demon killing demon killing in the lower decks. But tragically, he's so out of breath from the run here that he can't speak. But he gives you a big thumbs up, and he
Can we get that guy from the armory?
Did we return your uncle, or is he still here?
Touchstone's still here. He's hanging out.
Yeah, so let's
go. I love it. Thank you guys for making me feel part of the team. This is this reminds me of your school photos, Torvald. Do you remember those?
It does. I don't actually.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Well, everyone.
It's a date meme for the most part.
Hi, everyone.
Does Ibram join us?
Ibram's not there. Okay, everyone, I guess. Say Ave Imperator.
Ave Imperator.
There is a flash, and the Servo Skull, prints out another one. It's lovely. It's something to remember this lovely moment by. Anything else you would like to do pre-Sanguinala meal?
I need to finish my gift. I've got to head back into my room real quick.
Sure. So I'm going to say you've got a few hours, and you do the prep you need. But all your presents are prepared. And by the time you get to Lane's office, there is a lovely Sanguinala spread on the table. There is a deliciously roasted grox as the centerpiece, and there are some Wangaku beaks, and absolutely everything you could ever want to eat served with delight. The table in Lane's office looks unusually cramped, so around it are BGZ, Ibrim, Thalia, Touchstone, and yourselves, and Lane is sitting at the head of the table. Unusually, he's wearing gloves.
Does he look a little bit kind of swollen from my three-hit combo?
Yeah, a little bit. One of his ears looks a bit off. You're not really sure. Well, you are sure what happened, but it was strange. Thank you all for joining me for Sanguinala dinner. It has been a tough year, and this is a good time to reflect on the sacrifices we've made to get here. Speaking of sacrifices, sadly your Famuel can't join us. He's got an existing arrangement in the lower decks. As the ship's foremost exorcist, he's been doing the rounds of them, and he has certainly been busy. He's asked me to pass on a few things ahead of the wider gift sharing. I decided to do a secret Sanguinala this year. Lane claps his hands, and a servo skull floats up from beneath the table, dropping a small present in front of each of you, wrapped in parchment paper.
Oh.
Now, Raph has actually told me what these gifts are, so who would like to open these first?
I'll go then.
Sure. You open it up, and it is a brand new servo skull. And by brand new, I mean the skull is fairly recent. The back of the cranium looks as though it was smashed open with great force. There is a Voxcaster implanted into its mouth. It has a button underneath of it.
I'll press it.
So when you press it, you can hear Orfamuel's voice saying, "In times of peace, a demon is nearby."
I press it again. Does it say it's a different saying or the same one?
"Your child can't sleep. There's a demon under the bed."
Perfect. "If you find a Welsh man, annoy him."
"If you find yourself sick on a Fudder's Rock, that means there is a demon in the kitchen." And you press it a few times, and it essentially seems that Orfamuel has made for you a magic eight ball, but solely to do with demonology.
That's amazing.
we're taking it with us. So this is what's going to detect the demon.
Lothar's going to sigh relief.
It's just strange that every time I ask if there's a demon nearby, it says yes. No.
It's always yes. The yes, it just yes and yes in bold are the only two options.
Yes, yes in bold, and try again later.
Who's next for your lovely or family present?
Tora, open his.
Sure. Yeah. So, Tora, you open this.
Oh boy, I hope it's another candle.
You're delighted because it is a small pile of teeth. And when you look closer, holes have already been drilled through them, as if they are ready to be strung on the necklace. And then you look even closer and you realise these are the large metal teeth from some giant chain blade that appear to have been blunted.
Oh my god. Oh. Tora's going to undo his dogtooth necklace and start sliding them on as accent pieces.
They're nice.
Around all of the other dog
teeth. They're nice and metallic. They look good. I feel holy. I guess last up then is Lothar.
It is. And seeing that it wasn't, you know, a bomb that Lane gave us or something, Lothar's going to open it.
You open it. It's a bomb. No, it's... So you open it, and then you're a bit confused, because it is just a pile of purity seals. And then you realize, no, it is a rifle scope, which has been covered in purity seals.
Somehow inside where the two lenses
are. It's everywhere.
Hold on a second. I'm going to just take a look and see if I can... Yep. Oh, thank goodness. Okay, I found where you actually look out of. Okay.
Yeah, it's almost like it's been wrapped in camo tape, but purity seals. It's lovely. It's about your standard rifle scope, but and by that I mean it doesn't add anything to your character sheet, but it adds a good warm feeling in your heart.
Aww. Oh, he's sweet.
Lane claps his hands once together and says, anyway, I've decided to do a secret Sanguinalo this year. The skulls have been biocoded with your designated gifts. Well, I'm going first because I'm in charge, he says, and a skull floats up. Lane opens up his present, and wrapped in plain black wrapping is an impeccably well-made leather pistol holster, oiled and ready for use. There is some faint filigree stitched alongside it, with a dark green thread. Well, thanks, whoever got me this. Hopefully I won't need to use it, but no, I appreciate this.
Tora looks uneasy.
Yeah. How about you, Lothar? You're next.
Oh, as in opening my gift?
Yeah, off right? you go.
Yeah.
Your gift is a small frame. Looking inside the frame, it is one of your old service photos when you first joined the Guard. It shows a much younger and less scarred Lothar. Alongside this are recreations of the few medals you've earned, perhaps lost over the years. Several campaign medals, perhaps one or two for Valor as well.
Oh, this is really sweet. Wow. Thank you. I've never done a secret Sanguinalo before.
Well, Fally is next, so I hope you know what it is.
Oh, no, absolutely.
So what does Thalia open?
That's right. So Thalia then opens. I tried to think of something that he could do. Basically a sewing and needle set made from copper there that he was able to find and scrounge together there, all polished up and nice. So a lot of tailoring equipment, that kind of thing.
Oh, I think she looks at it. She kind of holds it in her one cybernetic arm and goes, oh, thank you for this. This is really, really lovely. Thank you. Next up is Tora. Tora, your present, you can already tell it's quite a loose floppy parcel. It appears to be some kind of clothing.
Tora unwraps it.
So what you have is a t-shirt in a bright blue. In yellow text on the front, so bright that it is actually at first difficult to read, it says, I'm having a shucktastic birthday, with a cartoon image of Mr. Ruck himself giving a large, greasy thumbs up. You vaguely recognise this as something that you've seen a handful of children wear at Fudderucks, but you've never seen a t-shirt that would fit an adult until now.
Oh my god. Tora immediately strips. Tora strips his pants, like his pants off.
Everything.
And his,
yeah.
He's got so many belts and stuff, he has to remove it all to get it on.
Yep. Everyone kind of looks at you like you would for a terminally ill child.
Tora, why would you not just put it over? Okay.
Well, I gotta get it in. It turns out that Tora actually has those those garters that businessmen wear to keep their shirts.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Shirts down. Tora's got that.
Nice.
So his shirt doesn't ride up when he's killing things.
So, next up is dear Uncle Touchstone. What has Touchstone got to open?
Touchstone has got a quote unquote authentic ruggable ball signed by very clearly Tora because it's his handwriting, but signed off as the ex-captain of the, oh god, what do we call the rugby
All Blues?
team? No. The or is like university rugby.
Oh, it was Vanden Preparatory College.
Yeah. Thunder Preparatory College, 39,958 or something like that.
Oh, well, thanks, whoever got me this, he says, looking briefly at you, Tora, but then moves his eyes before he kind of realizes it's too obvious. This is a really lovely gift, thank you. Lane points to BGZ next. BGZ's never really done Sanguinala before. He cracks it open. It is a pair of almost like children's novelty eyebrows, as if you would get from a...
Groucho Marx.
It kind of, yeah, but just the eyebrows of it. He puts them over his vision slit, at which point Ibrim loses his shit to give him a permanently angry expression. BGZ turns to you all and says, "My motive cores are enhanced by this."
Well, that's going to try to stifle a laugh.
It looks really good.
You look really angry.
Yeah. Amelia, you're next.
I can't wait for BGZ to be disappointed in us and have to be like, "Hold on. Let me go get my eyebrows."
My angry eyebrows. So, Amelia, it's a small sort of cylinder of something wrapped up.
Okay, I'm not opening it.
Sure. It is a small black candle about the size of a pint glass. It seemingly is handmade, perhaps quite roughly. When you sniff it, it is like being back at home. You can smell the stench of oil, the dust of Mars, and the sweat of labourers. And last but well, and also least, what has Ibrim got?
He's got a small card.
You're welcome.
Yeah, what does this card say?
Well, when he opens it up, it's the Christmas or Sanguinala card with everybody on it. So you never forget us.
Thank you.
Sanguinala.
I shall treasure this forever, and I'm sure one of the people who are in this photo was one of the ones who look, our family's there. I've not seen him for a while. It's good to see him well.
But then a servitor brings over another box.
Oh. You can't double up, Amelia, if that's you who got me this. What's in this other box?
I was gonna give him make another spider drone, but black because it's all cool.
Oh yeah, he opens it, and I think so. He's not particularly good at masking his emotions, because the emotions he does have are very limited. And I think
also, the cards are for everybody.
Sure, everyone gets one. It's lovely. And I think Ibrim opens it, and he's genuinely is quite... Wow! I was going to say something witty, but this is actually quite a cool gift. Thank you. Whoever got me this, he says as he looks at you, Amelia.
I send him a wink emoji.
He kind of begrudgingly sends you a thumbs up. Nice. Then Lane stands up. He goes, "Oh, sorry, everyone. I'm feeling a little bit cold. Let me just close the air conditioner." And he walks over to the AC unit in the corner of the office. A cold wind is blowing from it, colder than you would expect for such a compact device. Bizarrely, snowflakes are blowing through it, quickly covering everything in the room in a white dust.
Lothar's reaching for his last pistol.
Lane's hand is covered as he stretches out to it. His whole body is frozen. Everyone else at the table appears to be frozen on the spot, their faces stuck between expressions.
For fuck's sake.
You three realise that you don't feel cold and can move freely. You can hear something knocking inside of the AC unit.
This is some psycher bullshit.
Tora's going to do the barbershop knockback.
Is it Sinterklaas?
Who knows? Dare ye open the AC unit!
this is weird dwarvy shit again.
Yeah, it is. If one of you guys want to open it, I've got a bead on it.
Sure. You open the hatch.
Can you put a gun on it rather than a bead?
You open...
As much as I appreciate your respect of the friendship bracelet we all have.
Lothar's going to take one of the peas off of his plate and flick it over at... Hold on a second here. He's going to flick that pea over at Tora and
Hits.
Nail him right in the ear.
Wow, it's the ear that you were hit on earlier. Ouch.
the cold shot. Minus 20, so it doesn't hit.
Oh, true, fair enough.
So this knocking continues from the AC unit. It does the shaving a haircut back.
Oh, it must be good.
No, I don't think so.
Laura is going to one hand on Little Scythe Jr. Amelia, can I borrow one of your screwdrivers?
I was just going to say, I'm going to open it.
Sure.
Okay.
You crack it open and wedged in the vent. It's Jaws.
What?
What?
Oh, hey, guys. How's it going? Can I get out of the AC?
What? Tora, before it's opened, is going to take the opportunity to go and flick Lane really hard in the ear while
Yeah, you do. Nothing happens.
I mean, I'll help him out, I guess.
Oh. Thanks.
Jaws.
How are you guys doing?
He didn't see you here.
I know. Strange, isn't it?
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, given your proximity to this system's Mandeville point, where the link to the warp is greatest, I think I might be some kind of manifestation of the spirit of Sanguinala, or something like that, perhaps developed from your collective subconscious.
Both our shoes.
Can you sing a Christmas rendition of Aero Car Doesn't Go
Far? The shot goes straight through him and goes, well, yeah, that didn't do anything. No, because it's all about rules, isn't there, Ricard? What rules are there on Sanguinala? The most magical time of year, he says as he raises his arms.
Are you the ghost of Christmas Sanguinala present?
You could call me that, I suppose.
Oh my god. Wait, does that mean you've brought more presents?
No.
All right, back in the AC with you.
No! Don't send me back! No! But I've got something to show you that you might find interesting, and maybe by the end of it, you'll learn what the true spirit of Sanguinala is all about.
I'm going to go look for the psyker.
The door is locked, frozen.
To the bridge of the vengeful spirit.
To watch
Horace strike.
Check this shit out.
Open the door to the room and look down the hallway.
The door is frozen shut.
I try to open it.
Do we follow you into the air vent?
No, pull my finger, he says as he extends his finger towards you.
Sora cannot resist.
So when you pull Joss's finger, there is a great flash of light and it fills all of your vision. The first thing you hear is people shouting, but not shouting angrily. There's cheers, there's shouts of encouragement. Your vision focuses and you realise you're now in the stands of a small stadium. There's a green field with a distinctive X shape of a regulation ruggable pitch. A huge sign towers over the stadium saying, Vunden Preparatory College, Sanguinala Cup.
Oh no.
Tora
is having the itchies in the back of his brain, but he can't quite figure out why.
Joss, looking more strangely spectral by the moment, says, I think you've been here before, haven't you, Tora?
I think maybe I sold drugs under the bleachers.
Mm. Well, this looks like it's a Sanguinala from long ago.
Oh my god. Tora checks underneath the bleachers to see.
Are we about to see you get your brain damage?
That's what I thought too.
So on the pitch, there are 44 players, as it's ruggable. As you can see that one of them is clearly excelling. He dashes between the other players, easily tearing the ball from their hands before passing it away. He dives forward.
In the crowd?
Yeah, I'm going to say you see Uncle Touchstone in the crowd. He's there's a man next to him who you recognise as Tony.
Tora sees. Does Tora also see the woman standing by Uncle Touchstone?
As in his mum? Yeah.
Yes. Tora averts his eyes.
Oh no. So the figure dives forward on the pitch. He catches the ball in midair with unbelievable dexterity. He slams it down, scoring, and then within moments he's lifted above his peers on their shoulders as the crowd chants his name. Torvald! 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 Play continues. the ball is tossed up in the air, and the young Torvald jumps for it. Just as his fingers connect, another student head collides with his own, and he falls to the ground like a ragdoll. There is a panicked gasp from the crowd, most of all from your dear family members, followed by a concerned hush.
Can Tora look in the crowd for Willem?
Yeah, he's not there. At least doesn't appear to be. You're finding it strangely easy to move here. It's like you can pass through people.
Oh my god. How did that, look at that handsome man get hit on the head.
There are whistles blowing, and then Medicaid servo skulls float down towards the man, or the boy, at the bottom of the pitch. There is a team of coaches running to him, but the boy lays still on the floor.
What a terrible tragedy this is, Lothar, that someone so handsome would get hit on the head so hard.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a very good Sanguinalo, is it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, this isn't exactly what I was thinking. And you can hear the dogs in the background during the game and everything.
There's loads of terrible. Them. They're the ball boys. There they are.
Question, though. So this rugger ball, is this, you know, the Australian football? Is that the idea?
So rugger ball is... So it's a cross between rugby and football that's played with four teams at once on a pitch shaped like an X. So there is a goal at the end of each X, and in the middle it is the danger zone.
I've recently just seen a video about footy.
Oh, yeah, AFL. Yeah, nah, this AFL. Is worse than that, baby. there's a lot of blood.
Gaelic rugby.
Yeah, I think that's a Gaelic rugby with like double the number of players and triple the amount of fun. And I think it's odd. The boy on the floor, his eyes flicker, and I think Joz sort of comes over to you, Tora, and says, Well, I take it you don't remember much from this Sanguinala, do you?
No, why would I?
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you want to pull my finger? He extends his finger once more.
To Tora?
To Lothar. Oh, no, he extends his finger to Amelia.
Okay.
Bye, he says. There is another white flash, and now you can feel the heat of a desert upon you. Though mercifully, you appear to be indoors in a shadowed sandstone building. There's a door in front of you. Far away, you can hear singing and music playing. What would you like to do?
Okay. Well, we're in a desert. We're not on Mars or nothing.
It doesn't. Well, you're not sure. You're in a sandstone room. It feels hot.
Well, move towards the singing, I guess.
Sure.
I guess so.
Is it singing in Gothic or is it singing in binary?
No, it's singing in low Gothic.
10011100011100011.
It's lovely, and you just called a phone number. Yeah, so you go through the door to find the source of the singing, and there is a huge man who is towering above you despite being seated on a chair. He is surrounded by food. Then Fudder Rux stands up, filling the room.
Well, if it isn't my favourite customers, what a fortuitous representation of the current Sanguinala we find ourselves in.
Lothar shoots again.
I am unable to be harmed by your puny instrument of the Emperor's design, Raph.
Good tidings we bring to the machine spirit within.
It was a fine shot, if we were really here.
Oh no, I've been shooting back at the Ipcress. Oh no.
Do you perchance know where we are right now?
In some horrific warp vision.
Well,
I watched a really handsome guy bang his head really hard.
Well, one of those things is correct.
We're still on the Empress.
Well, technically, yes, if you view it in a very basic linear.
Yeah, I mean, this is not something I'm supposed to recognize, is it?
No.
I mean, that was out of character,
sure.
Obviously.
No.
who else makes up the room?
Yeah.
Tommy Wiseau.
It appears to be basically a storeroom. It's surrounded by food. It seems to be like sort of good, hearty, wholesome stews. There's a few groks sort of being gutted and drying in the corner. A lot of like vegetables and that kind of thing. It's you appear to be basically in the pantry of a building.
My God, and are the cucumbers and tomatoes singing like cult hit video classic Emperor's Vegetables Tales?
They do not appear to be doing Emperor's Vegetable Tales.
To waltz with tomatoes.
We're gonna get copyright struck.
Yeah, just watch out, guys.
Why are we?
You don't.
Here?
You don't yell at Trock when he sings copyright music.
Yeah, because he does it well.
You prompted it, though.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I suppose you were here to learn the true spirit of Sanguinala.
Are we doing something wrong?
Are you the warp vision of Sanguinala present?
Perhaps I am, young man. Perhaps I am.
So then there's two ghosts of the present, then?
Nope.
Wait, Josh is the Sanguinala ghost of Sanguinala past.
I'll be honest, I still think this is a warp thing going on. I'm not convinced.
I mean, Joss did say he was a benevolent warp entity, so, you know, up to you. Whatever was Joss, because clearly he wasn't Joss, because Joss doesn't have time-traveling powers, from what you remember.
Just with his music.
Yeah, and you know that Fudder Rux himself cannot fit inside this room. He's too big.
He's a lot larger than I remember him.
He gets the more you think about it, the bigger and more imposing Fudder Rux appears.
Oh God! So, where are we then?
Well, take a look for yourself, young man. And he stands aside, and there is a small doorway behind him that he opens. As you step through, you realize now where you are. You are on the scriptorium, back on Al-Jadar. There's a few faces you recognize. There is grey-bearded Falahadad surrounded by the adults of the tribes, all laughing and cheering while sharing food and drink. At one end of the courtyard, you can see lots of children. Amelia, you notice something. One of the children's voices carries over to you. It's my turn! I want to be the Red Witch!
I'm going to go see what they're doing.
And you see a young boy is reluctantly taking off the costume. It is a mass of red-dyed cloth and metal, and when he hands it to the young girl, she slips it over her head, practically bouncing with excitement. She's now dressed in a strange tumble of fabric and scavenged steel. Her face is grinning as it peers out from the ropes. The other children sit down in a circle around her, their voices saying in unison, "What story are you going to tell us, Red Witch?" The young girl thinks for a moment and then begins a long, rambling story about the worlds of the Skyfallen, the places of adventure that are in the stars above their heads. It's a simple, childish story, but they listen enraptured. Then it's another child's turn. The costume is passed along and the next story begins.
Are any of them dressed as Lothar?
No,
none of them
appear to be dressed as Lothar.
I was going
to
smile at that.
What a fine Sanguinala tradition these fine people have.
Provided I think we're seeing is true, but...
I can assure you, as much as I am the real bona fide Fudder Rux, what you are seeing is the guaranteed truth.
But no, Amelia is obviously touched by that.
Hey, he extends one greasy finger towards you. Pull my finger.
Again?
I'm the only one who hasn't done it yet. I'm following the pattern right. Alright, Lothar's going to holster his last pistol and pull his finger.
There is another flash of light. But when this one fades, you're in darkness. You can taste the recycled air of the Ipcress. Two red lights flicker into life ahead of you, illuminating a dark corridor. What would you like to do?
Lothar takes his last pistol back out and fires down the hall one more time.
Nothing happens.
Does it at least illuminate the hallway?
In the red glow, you can see that the lights are in fact the eyes of something humanoid.
God.
BGZ? Is that you?
There is no response.
You guys are seeing this too, right? I'm not going nuts.
Lothar, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're the other way. Look over my way.
Sorry, yeah. Torrid turns 180 degrees. Okay, yeah, no, I see what you're talking about.
Lothar's gonna go down the hall really, really slow.
As you move closer, you realize these are the eyes attached to a mask, a skull mask. You can see the slick bodysuit of an assassin. Rippling muscles are studded with drug injectors.
Or turns around again.
It is death in the shape of a man. It moves slowly, almost gracefully, and turns around, the red glow following it. Do you follow it?
Man, you got people that... fine, yeah. All right, Lothar's going to holster his pistol and follow.
So it walks some distance before you see what it is heading towards. It is the heavy doors of the Ipcress's chapel. It stands to one side. The doors are closed before you.
Oh, boy. Okay. Lothar's going to make a quick sign of the Aquila. Looks at the assassin and I guess try to then open the door.
Quick, try shooting it again, Lothar. It worked really well all the other times.
I'll save that for when I open the door, I guess.
Sure. Inside, you can see the lenses of several helmets of stormtroopers facing the door. They all appear to be wounded. Bandages are wrapped around limbs or they're propping themselves up against the few pews that are not being used as crude barricades. The door closes silently behind you, and their weapons are trained at it.
At the door or me?
At the door.
Okay.
And the rest of you, I take it. The rest have followed as well.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Did you guys leave me on my own for this one?
Nah, Tora would have backed up his buddy Lothar.
Oh, thank goodness. Does Lothar recognize who is here?
Sure. These look like the stormtroopers you're familiar with. These are the stormtrooper platoon. They are the inquisitorial stormtroopers based on your floor of the Ipcress. In the distance, you can see on the shrine, there are three black candles that have been lit, and there is a figure standing by them, facing them.
Is it the Abyssal?
You're too far away to see.
Tora walks towards an inquisitive Thalia.
Lothar's going to walk up, sign of the Aquila, and repeating the names of folks under his breath there.
Of course. As you walk closer towards the altar, you stop. There is something very odd leaning up against it. It is you. Your head is slumped down to one side. Your flak armor is battered and crumpled. There is a small trail of blood leading from a few steps back up against the altar, and your long lance is loose in your hands. You see the figure standing by the altar is Lane. He strikes a match and lights a fourth black candle upon looking at your body.
Oh, I think Lothar's just going to be caught staring here. This is what he's expecting, but certainly not what he's mentally ready for.
You try and stare at your body for a moment longer, and then everything goes dark as the candles are blown out, plunging the room into darkness. Behind you, you can hear the sound of metal creaking, being torn asunder like wet cloth. Another light is pouring in the room, pallid red, burning like a distant fire. It is peering through the crack in the door. It is getting brighter and brighter. What would you like to do?
I think Lothar, out of panic, is going to try and grab for the long las of from his body there and try and aim it.
As you reach for the long las, the doors burst open. Are you all right? Thalia says. Lothar, you're squeezing her hand on the table. The quiet of the quiet conversation of the Sanguinala feast continues around you. I said, could you pass me the salts, please?
Yeah. Sorry. I can never choose, but I can never figure out which one's the salt and the pepper. You know, they look the same. And here, Sorry Thanks. About that.
That's all right. And she salts her food and places the small canister back down. Right, that's the AC fixed, says Lane as he sits back down. Anyway, he grabs his glass and raises it and says, Merry Sanguinala, everyone.
Right, Merry Sanguinala, Lothar's going to say as he's holding up his glass and looking around the room to see if there are las burns anywhere in the room.
There does not appear to be any las burns here. It appears to be exactly as you left it before Lane stood up for the AC. Tora and Amelia, you are back here as well. BGZ reassuringly has his angry eyebrows on. Ivrim has not stopped finding it funny, nor has Touchstone.
Can Tora rearrange BGZ's eyebrows to just look like he's surprised? And
yeah, he gives you a big thumbs up, and Ivrim goes, yeah, that's a good one. He looks, I mean, I would be surprised here too. Wow.
I think I'm just kind of stunned. Sure. I don't know.
And the feast continues, unless there's anything else you guys would like to do.
I think the only thing Lothar wants to try to do, just to try and bring him back into the now, I think, is to try and go, hold on, let's rearrange it one more time. And to make it look as though BGZ is raising one of the eyebrows in an inquisitive way.
Touchstone looks at it and goes, you know, that I think that I prefer that to the angrier. He looks constantly like, ah, what have you said to me? And you know, that's a funny little thing for him, isn't it, Kev? BGZ nods slowly.
Lothar, pull my finger.
Maybe after.
Coward.
Ah, great. So that was real. Brilliant. Okay, cool. I'm losing it. That's good. That's great. That's awesome. I'm so glad for that.
You will have a lovely Sanguinala meal. Lane has pulled out all the stops. And I think you drink long into the night. The next morning, the Ipcrest slows by the Mandeville Point, preparing for a warp jump. Tora, you know that this is as far as your uncle comes, and it's time for him to return back to Delphus. He awaits you in the shuttle bay.
Oh, Tora. Tora, I think, is like kind of like rubbing his foot against the floor, looking down, like playing with his hands a little bit.
Sure.
Mr. Touchstone, sir. While my image of you is different than the one I thought it would be, I couldn't have found a better inquisitorial contact to do spooky business with on planet.
Well, thank you, Torvald. That's it's very kind of you.
If I could retract an earlier statement, if you happen to talk to Mum, send her my Sanguinala wishes.
I'll do that, Torvald. Don't you worry. Oh, Lena got me something. He said it was for the inconvenience. He reaches into his bag and pulls out two small slips of paper. And Tora, you recognize these in an instant. They are two season tickets to the All Blues.
Oh my fucking sweet Jesus God.
Just promise me you'll come visit when all of this is over. Maybe go see a few games, that kind of thing.
If I live to see it, I'd love to see the Rugger Ball with you.
He laughs and I think opens his hands for a hug.
Tora hugs him.
I love you, Torvald.
Love you too, Touchstone.
And Touchstone's shuttle drifts off back towards Delphus, now little more than a speck in the blackness of space. You see the heavy shutters come down over the hangar bay, with a faint shimmer appearing just before them as the Gellerfield activates.
The one Imperial Navy attendant run over to the corner and start pulling their Venetian blinds closed.
Yeah, he's getting his hours in. In the bowels of the Ypcrest, the warp core howls. The ship launches into the Immaterium towards the planet of Veldon, where the future awaits.